Sweet Sweet Garbage is a podcast in which two women, Jenna Redding and Bailey Von Schneider, take a look back at some of their favorite garbage films and television. Knowing them as we do, we have to ask the question, why do they find themselves enamored with this trash? Not only that, why do we ourselves root for the problematic woman? We love a good crazy stalker, male or female. Why is Bailey okay with the idea of Penn Badgley stalking her? Why does Jenna want to single white female every person she meets? Can they be feminists and still enjoy these indulgences? Let's find out.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Sweet Sweet Garbage. We're back with Leo Month, and this one is a doozy. Just a real doozy. We got Critters 3, everybody.
Woo!
And we have a special guest this week. We have Michael Santel. We have a Storytime podcast.
Thank you so much for handling me. Just so your audience knows, I petitioned them to be on this show. They did not seek me out. They did not ask me if I wanted to be here. I got real jealous that David's being on podcast, so I manhandled my way into the show. Thank you so much for being receptive to my tiny hands. I am
happy to have you. We love having guests on.
Yeah, and I also promise that I won't keep you on for 2 hours because David Miller, I was joking about this the other day.
It was long.
The podcast episode of The Patriot was half an hour shorter than the movie The Patriot.
If we talk for 2 hours, we have talked 60 minutes longer than the movie that we just
yes.
saw.
Yes, this yes. was that's true.
Barely a movie.
It's barely so a movie. Short.
It was under 90 minutes.
Like that's way under.
I've been listening to the beach episode, and I was listening to all of your criticisms and critiques of that film and where they could have gone. That movie has choices. This movie is not sweet, sweet garbage. It is a garbage fire. It is a four-alarm fire, and it hits the ground running. You don't even need to know the other Critter movies to know how bad
No, you absolutely don't. I was a little concerned. I was like, I haven't seen any of the Critters. How's this going to go? And I was like, oh, no, I didn't need to see it.
It's like, actually, here's the thing. They actually did a pretty good job just alluding to all of the stuff in the first and second movie.
Yeah.
You mean the supercut of Critters 1 and 2 that the guy flashbacks to when the children meet him?
Yeah. Oh, but you just get a real quick montage. Yeah,
you understand what the world of Critters is.
I think we had a better time watching that montage than we would have of watching Critters 1 and 2.
Right.
I wish that we could have seen a 15-second montage of this movie as well. We didn't get to do that. Just so I get a better feeling of you two, were you horror kids? Did you grow up like when you went to the movie store, you're like, Mom, this doll kills people. We gotta watch this movie.
No, actually, I got into it when I was probably in college. That was when I started getting into like the fun, campy horror stuff. When I was a kid, I was actually just like a real scaredy cat, and I would have been scared of Chucky, unironically.
Yeah, for me, it's a little weird. I have like a love-hate relationship with the horror as a child. Like I grew up on Scream. Like I probably saw it way too young. I love that franchise. But then like Tim Curry's It freaked the shit out of me.
Yeah.
So like I like both loved and hated it. And then now I'm almost desensitized to it all.
Right. Well, it seems like you like more thrillers or like gory stuff.
Yeah, I'm into blood.
Well, listen, this has blood aplenty for you.
What was it rated, actually? It is PG-13, weirdly.
Yeah, no fucking way. I felt the whole time they didn't know if they wanted to go R or PG-13.
Right.
Yes.
There's all of these weird choices. Do we just blue skidoo and hop right into the beginning of the movie?
Let's go. Okay.
So the movie starts out with like a house party logo. It's like Critters. It's like very 1992 in that
regard. Oh, yes. This very movie fun. Opened 90s, very 90s.
And then the music is just a ripoff of Danny Elfman's Pee Wee Herman soundtrack, right? It's like bump, bump, beep, 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 beep. And it's a little bit different. I couldn't tell who this movie was for. because it's kind of for the kids, but the kids are like shit upon all the time by the adults. They're always told to like get out of there. And then the horror stuff isn't really that scary or campy. The critters feel like weird Sonic the Hedgehogs.
It was not a good look. I was just like, oh wow, what are those fur
things? They're so ugly too. At least gremlins are kind of cute. These are like the ugliest things I may have ever seen in my life.
Right. No, it's the design of them was real gross.
Yeah, it was like nightmare fuel.
Like, because the thing is, like if they look like, I think those things that would just like scurry all the time, like the actual, like when you see the eyes and they're like moving around and stuff, I feel like that wouldn't be so scary, but something about them going really, really, really fast, like a roly-poly or something.
Yeah, they can like roll up and go like super fast, but then they're also kind of pot porcupine because they like shoot these porcupine like dots at people that could like have drugs in them apparently.
Yeah, and I didn't know if the drugs like just made you sleepy because dad and the lady get high and then they're like giggling and like sleeping on you.
But I did wonder if that was just from like blood loss and then also the fact that maybe they were really sleepy. But yeah, I couldn't tell because it did seem like it could have a drug effect.
Yeah, it was
not what it
these creatures, because we're never really explained about what these creatures really are.
Oh, they are from space. There is a space bounty hunters that have to defeat the critters. Spoilers, did you watch all of the credits? Did you watch the end credits scene?
Yes.
Like a Marvel movie. They can't kill these critters. These critters, they're the last of their species.
Right. No, so it's like, oh, no. Because this whole time, this guy, who I guess is the one who was in the first and second one, he's just been bumbling his way through this series like a real dumb Indiana Jones. But like, instead of like doing cool shit, he's just bumbling around killing these things.
When it first started, I was like, I hate this guy. I hate him. I hate that you've made a movie. But then by the end of the movie, I have lots of takeaways, but my first takeaway is, guys, we should make a movie. We can do it. If this guy can make himself.
Oh, yeah.
He makes the woman say, who's that sexy man? And he's like hunched over. Yeah. Just write a movie and make yourself the star of the movie.
Make yourself the hottest man in the world, apparently.
But, you know, to this poor lady, Gladys, or whatever her name was, that like has lost a lot of blood.
Yes.
Which again, so that's like another thing where that wound
that looks gnarly. That was like a gnarly wound.
Yeah. Well,
the first wound of the movie, of course, is when we find out that dad, who is homeless, has taken his kids on vacation, in air quotes. They're just bumbling around the country. I wrote down because it made me so sad when the daughter was like, it used to be better when mom was alive 2 years ago. It was like, oh my God.
It's like, the guy who wrote this, so funny. Honestly, now, though, like he got a gig, though. Good for him.
He got a gig for sure. Listen, I'm in my 30s now. I wish I was writing a B movie horror franchise.
Yeah, give me Critters 6 at this point. I don't care.
Beyond 3? Was there a Critters 4?
The whole end of the movie is setting up Critters 4. The real question is if there's a Critters 5, and that I am ignorant on, so I don't know.
No, I do think because I know they shot 3 and 4. Like at the same time, they had so much faith in the series
that they're like, it's gonna be a hit.
3 and 4 concurrently.
I love that, like, Leonardo is apparently like terrified of people seeing that movie Dawn's Plum, but like Critters 3, he's like, you know what? I was like 16. It's all good.
Yeah, he's all good. He definitely looks like a child.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. The main character Annie, who we need to get more into in a second, Annie's little brother and Leo. When they meet Leo, she calls him a pervert. She's like, what are you, a pervert? And he's like, he looks like he's 11 years old. He looks like he's just another kid at the park. He's not a pervert. He's just a child.
Yeah, no, because I thought she was going to go up and be like, hey, why are you like bullying my
brother?
Yeah, like something like that, because that's also like all she saw. He like grabbed his arm, but he looked like he was like, you know. Nope. Being a little shit, not a pervert.
Yeah, not danger. Like trying to stick his hand down his pants or something. Then you can be like, whoa, maybe you're a pervert.
Maybe this, you know, listen, a lot of abuse happens amongst kids on kid abuse. So maybe this is just bringing to light a taboo subject we don't talk about.
Maybe we don't talk about it enough. This could be true.
So this movie starts off. I was like, what is the theme of this movie? And then when they go down the road and the man jumps out of the Vietnam era manhole, yes, he's in the ground and he spikes them. Guys, I think this is a Pan's Labyrinth movie. This is about a young woman who is brought into the strange, and this is her coming of age story, because Annie is the only buddy holding this family together.
Oh my God. Like, and I feel so bad because she's literally like a 16-year-old girl. And it's like, oh yeah, you have to be like mom and wife pretty much.
Yeah. Which is basically what she's doing. Yeah. She spends the whole first part of the, like the first time we see them, basically just having like a husband, you know, what do you call it? Like a spousal spat.
With her father. Dad,
I think you should be around more.
Yeah. And then he's like, you're a woman now. I was like, whoa.
It's like, not... first of all, what? No.
I remember when I was a 16-year-old girl dreaming of getting a job at the phone company as well. But unfortunately, I had to go to high school and finish out my degrees.
Oh, man. Life really gets in the way sometimes.
I love how in the 90s, you could just work at the phone company and apparently afford a whole family.
Yeah, well.
Well, I mean, could they? Listen, I don't know if that apartment building is a fixer-upper that just needs the neighborhood to be gentrified, or if this had been a problem for a long time, because the woman from Happy Gilmore and her husband have clearly been living there.
I love seeing grandma. I love seeing grandma in this.
Yeah.
Now, she was grandma up until a couple years ago. She plays a demon creature from the Twin Peaks series. So I wonder if this has any tie-ins with Twin Peaks, because there's electrical boxes everywhere.
Low-key, one of like Lynch's favorite films. And he's just like, I need this woman. Yeah, maybe. We don't know.
He's been trying to get Leo. Maybe we get Leo for Twin Peaks season 3. We can only dream. We can only dream.
But no, well, that was one of the things too, is that I think, you know, obviously the movie finally starts when they get home. They like run into that, the guy who's leaving all of his belongings. You know, he's moving out, and like the maintenance guy is being a dick.
Mario. You're referring to Mario. Mario's got to move his stuff out of the building.
Yeah, exactly. Because we get this, like the most stereotypical, most, when you think of a 90s movie villain or bully, it's this guy. It's not necessarily this actor, this character.
He's like an Italian, and he tries to like up the Italian, like New York, but somehow they're in Los Angeles, though, I think, or nondescript city. But he's like, I love how like he's been like saying that the elevator is out of order, and
it's
says OUTA
spelled out of order.
I hated all of that actor's choices. Come to find out he dies 10 minutes into the movie. I was like, oh, this guy's just doing this because he knows he's going to be out. He only worked 2 days.
He knows exactly what movie he's supposed to be in.
He's so loathsome that by the time like that, you know that he's about to get eaten by the critters, you're ready for it. You're ready for this guy to like go.
To bite the big one.
I forgot about horror movie logic, that we have to set this guy up to be such an asshole so that he can be dead and me as the audience feel fine with that.
Only a-holes actually die in this movie, because technically I think there's only two deaths.
No, there's only two kills.
The death of the family is the universal death here, but I mean, there's different deaths. Yes.
But that was that death had already happened. Mm-hmm.
We should absolutely continue with where we're going. I just want to touch on one thing. I loved in the flashback sequence when the little kid was like, Dad, Mom has a harpoon in her neck. That was, I could, I want
what a
all
way
of,
to go, right?
What a way to
what
go.
What a way to go, as I say.
Yeah.
No. And so... Yeah, what we were talking about, like the with like the horror logic. Yeah, him like being just the biggest douchebag. And for whatever point, at some reason though, he's like talking really kindly to like a fish.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's also talking really kindly to his rat. So you're like, okay, he's also supposed to be psychotic. That's great. But like, so gentle with the fish he was.
Yeah, but he thought that one critter was a rat, and then he was like, get your ass back upstairs, and he like throws it at the thing.
And that thing just comes like out of the laundry and just like lashes onto his neck. Oh
yeah, so that's like, again, a pretty gruesome death.
Yes.
And like, and then also then he gets into a tussle with it where like one point, I guess it's attached to his, it was probably his junk.
He lasted like, quite a while in that fight. I'm going to say he put up a good fight against that critter.
Yeah.
I love a puppet attacking a person where all you got to do is wiggle your shoulders around.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all you got to do. Try to pretend like you're wrenching it up.
Now, before we go to our first death, let's talk about the death of dinner time. How sad was that spaghetti dinner? Where dad was taking one little forkful of food at a time.
That dad was the most depressing human being. Like, seriously, I get your wife died 2 years ago, and clearly she was the glue and the breadwinner in this family, because who is this man? Like,
he's some sort of he's like a rails bum, because when dad was getting ready to go, he had a train conductor hat on. And then the little kid was playing with the hat. So he obviously was some sort of hobo that got a family at some point, rides the rails. But he just abandons his children with those poor old people at the building.
Like, good for those old people.
His plan is to just leave them there. Yeah. And it's not like he's leaving them with family. Just straight up leaving them in this like tenement house, like falling apart, does not look good.
I wish that dad had a substance abuse problem.
Yes, I was going to say he should be an alcoholic.
It would make more sense.
Yeah, he's just a piece of shit. His children are writhing around in filth, and he's like, bring me your battery-operated TV so I can watch my bowling.
Yeah, I just want to watch, what do you say, like a stupid sitcom and, like, zone out, and it's like, well, you have two children, but cool.
Yeah. Before he goes off, because this train is the thing, it's a countdown to when he's about to leave.
Yeah.
And his whole thing is, no, I'm going to just watch TV until I leave you for an inordinate amount of time. No specified. And
we've talked about some of the tenants. There is Mario, who's moving out, whose car gets,
demolished.
The fact that just, like, the brakes go out.
And they're the brakes out. And it's like,
just a Tuesday. That's just the thing. Yeah. It's like, it happened again.
I'm sorry.
If he was an alcoholic, we wouldn't understand why nobody really batted two eyes. That Mario is just like, get the hell out of here.
We have the piece of shit dude. We have the nice old man and old lady. Mm-hmm. We also have, and I forgot her name, but the saucy plant woman.
The like sexed up lady.
Who she's like clearly wants some of dad's D.
Yeah, wants some of whoever's around, but mostly the space guy. She's like,
I'm thinking of like the woman on the motorcycle that just rolls up and clearly wants daddy's D.
The Ripley, the phone company in Ripley.
All right, the funniest scene in this whole fucking movie was literally when she almost falls off the roof, gets caught up, and is trying to like get to the phone booth.
We'll get into that part, because literally
that's hilarious comedy there.
It's just a runner for 20 minutes.
That was one of those choices. Just her, when she showed up, I was like, we're going to get, look at her. No bra. We're going to get a look. That shirt's coming on. No, it never comes on.
Nope, in fact, they put PG-13.
Yeah, they put a jacket on her when she's upside down, because they can't have those mamas fall out. They got to keep her bundled up nice.
Leo gives her his jacket.
He's such a nice boy. Also, that jacket went from like a little kid jacket to a man's jacket.
Yeah, it's so big on her. And it's like, this is skinny Leo.
I was like, this is very skinny Leo. Balls haven't dropped Leo, maybe.
Like his knees, his legs, when you're looking at his legs, you're like, oh my God. That's a man I have lusted over in
my life.
That's
what's hilarious. Watching this, I was like, whoa, 7-year-old Bailey was like, wait a couple of years, and she wanted all of that. But if she saw this one first, she would have been like, you look like every other boy I've seen.
Yeah.
Amazing if like 5 years could have
been played by the guy who was in Hocus Pocus.
1,000%. They wanted Leo for Hocus Pocus. Like, originally.
Sure, because the little brother looks like a small Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah.
He shows up and he's like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, you wanted JTT, but he's too old now. Yeah. He's on ABC at
that
this
little
point.
Kid is actually twins, and he was in Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, wow.
He's the little kid in Kindergarten Cop.
I knew that there was something up with that kid because he would just disappear. And I was like, oh, you can't afford, you can't keep a kid on set all day. Because he would just go away while something violent happened. And then he would show up and be like, Dad, don't go. Like he was always
I was confused for a while because when they all got up into like the roof, like for moments, I was like, wait, are they all up there? Because I felt like they focused on three people. And then the rest of the roof people, I did not know where they were. I didn't know where Happy Gilmore Grandma went.
Happy Gilmore Grandma, she had her Great Depression era of beans and ham meal. That was ruined by the critters.
Oh, gross scene. God. What a disgusting scene, too.
I hadn't looked too much into like what the puppets were when the critter puppet was like this, I was like, and the soap was just falling out of his mouth. God. I'm like, yeah, that's a fat fucking puppet. There's just no hole
chugging
there.
Chugging joy.
Yeah, and I was just like, is that what's making them bigger? Because obviously they were like growing just to like, because they had hatched
beans
or whatever.
Beans and joy.
That's just what made them big.
I don't know when they filmed that scene. It's got to be last because you ruined the puppets. You got to put those puppets in a washing machine after that scene. There's no like, oh, put some
coming
water
back
on it.
From those, that.
That's the end of the puppets. Also, I can't believe that you could make a full horror movie with just four of those things. They only needed four puppets. And it was like, okay.
And I was like, at one point, like they started to kick them and that's how they were like winning this fight. I was like, why did we not kick them in the beginning?
Yeah, they seem very kickable. They're literally balls.
I completely agree. I refuse to be taken over by an alien species that I could play soccer with.
I will start playing soccer with you.
So it's always like, I always found like when people were scared of Chucky, I'm like, kick the doll. The movie's over.
Like, with Chucky though, he usually like sneak up on you and like you in the tank.
He was a little more tact to like what Chucky
their strategy to his warfare.
Well, Critters of course is an alien movie and Chucky is a voodoo movie, so I guess voodoo has other
voodoo's
powers
a little better than the aliens that come. But I do love that they like they're like eggs and then they hatch and then they're like fully grown adults almost immediately after like hatching. Which is like, oh, okay, like, cool.
And you can tell this is a 90s movie because boy, do they love their slime. This movie has slime left and right. There's slime at the end.
Very specific. Yeah, very specific, that green shit that like,
it's like
so
bile.
Which
green.
horny plant lady. All of her only sexy underwear, all brand new, very shiny underwear, no like Wednesday underwear. It's only the nice underwear that you want people to see. Throwing it down there. She finds the viscous stuff on there and she doesn't like, ew, gross. She's like, that dirty pervert upstairs.
She was kind of fine with it.
She was totally fine with it. And then when she finds the blood, she like doubles down. She like puts her hand, she's like,
I guess this woman thinks semen is like the color of bile.
I think she's just really into every bodily function. She's just I'm into it.
I guess she is a freak on a leash for sure. She like was ready to go. I couldn't believe that. And then she gets her leg mauled open.
Oh yeah. My God.
Ripped open.
And it's so awful.
I thought she was going to like die because they showed the wound and I'm like, oh, that's, do you come back from this shit?
Which is really funny because that was a really, like that line made me laugh really hard when like they're trying to convince the dad, like it's these alien things, it's these things.
Yeah.
And you know, he's basically only half listening to them, but like only responding to his daughter. Where he's just like, oh, well, you know, you saw a rat.
Don't trust you.
Yeah, I don't trust you. Specifically says I don't trust you.
Yeah.
And then finally he's like, oh, it's a dog. It was a dog. And she's, Dad, would a dog do this?
Yeah.
And it cuts down to the wound. And the wound is disgusting.
Dad doesn't believe women, period.
No.
Yeah.
Multiple women come to him speaking their truth and Dad accepts none of it.
Only thing that happens is he gets assaulted and then he's like,
I give them all credit though, because like the Leo rolls up with his like stepdad. His stepdad is the second death.
Very evil.
Oh, that guy
stepdad.
Needed to die. Like
I don't understand why Leo's mom married that man. I don't understand why she allows that punishment. I do have to call bull. bullshit on the movie. The scene where he was playing Game Boy in the car, that is not realistic. As a 90s kid, you cannot play Game Boy in the car unless you have a top-down flip-up light. You have to put a big plastic light on there or you can't play in the car. No way was he playing Tetris in that car with Dad.
We have debunked this.
Debunked.
And then Dad's whole aim, stepdad was like, we're going to get them kicked out and then I don't have to pay them their government money. And it was like, oh, okay, you're just a bad dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like also his weird fixation with having Leo around.
Yeah, like learning the trade. But yeah, you hate like, this
like,
wait,
but I'm not actually your dad. Because he's like, one day this will be all yours. Like a bizarro Mufasa.
weird child grooming. There's weird child grooming all over the place. And I didn't understand if mom is worried about this and is aware of this, why would she let him go with him?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then they're doing errands at like 8 o'clock at night. That's too late for errands.
Yeah. What were they, but also what was the business that they were doing? Like, did they just go to the grocery store? Did it like start out like a regular night?
And then we're just gonna go ruin some lives.
They went to get the dry cleaning. They did the grocery shopping.
I think it was like
gas station.
I think it's a training day situation where he's like, smoke this. And he's like, I don't know if I smoke. He's like, are you a little bitch over there? And then Leo smokes PCP. And that's why, because I have to say, again, the women of this movie are the champions of this movie. The men are all pretty inept. Grandpa's not too bad, but he's not as physically fit as he was in World War II.
Basically useless.
Dad can't do anything. The little kid can't do anything. It all falls on Annie's shoulders.
Yeah. It really does, which is actually, maybe this is a progressive feminist film.
Actually, you know, this was movie directed was directed by a woman. I don't know. It was directed by a woman. I don't know that it was written by a woman. I think it was written by a guy.
Oh, it's got to be written by that Jewish guy. Who I think says it is. Space bounty hunter,
I think it's the crazy guy was like one of the writers in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For so sure. He like wrote and like acted in it.
What if so Critters is like his legacy? Yeah. Like not Coppola. Ooh. Start with George Lucas.
Yeah, sure. George Lucas has Star Wars. This guy has the Critters franchise.
Good for him.
These two are not like the other.
I'm sure this guy goes to the bar and takes shots with whoever made Tremors. I'm sure these guys are best friends.
Yeah, best buds.
Spitballing ideas off each other. What if we did this? What if we did this?
I want to watch that. Like, I want to see that script.
Well, you'll have to bring me back whenever you decide to do Kevin Bacon Month, because that first movie is a Kevin Bacon banger.
Yeah, no.
Kevin Bacon Tremors. Month would be a good month.
Kevin Bacon will, yeah, of course. There's Flatliners. You got it, though. There's so many good ones.
Yo, I can't believe you just said Flatliners. I feel like nobody knows Flatliners.
I love that Flatliners.
Movie is crazy. Yeah,
they tried to, like, remake it, and it was awful.
Oh, yeah, they did remake it. Yeah. You
know, with, like, Elliot Page. Like,
yeah. Well, the thing is, like, the original Flatliners, kind of a sexy movie.
Kiefer
Sutherland is in it.
Yeah, is it?
Julia Roberts.
Yeah, Julia, like the cast is low-key stacked.
The hot in it. No, it's like, it's a really hot cast.
I missed Kiefer Sutherland doing whisper voice characters. In Flatliners, he's a whisper guy. If you ever saw the movie Dark City, he's another like, they come at the night and they change things. I miss that. He became action guy and I missed him doing character work. I would like him to go back to scientist guy.
Yeah, like a weird scientist who like is kind of also like very all-knowing, like knows what's up, like is very mysterious. Mm. Love it.
So at this point of the movie, we're about 40 minutes into the movie and I had to pause the movie because I was like, man, I can't believe that there's more movie. And there was
I kept checking at times. I was like, oh shit, it's not over.
Because even though it's a very short movie,
It drags.
Like, I think it's because like the story just like will go to come into these screeching halts.
So we're about to reach a screeching halt, which is why we haven't talked about it. The woman gets her leg ripped open. Dad gets shot in the hallway. They bring him into Grandpa and Grandpa's. Grandpa knows all about the conspiracy and the aliens in Grover's den.
Mm-hmm.
The critter is coming to their apartment. Oh no, Leo's dad dies. He gets murdered by the critter.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, because he comes in, he's just like, well, you know, this is going to be a great way to, you know, make sure they leave really fast. And he like cuts the phone line. So we, you know, we see,
we have
see
no phone line. He cuts the power too. So power. Everybody's completely fucked.
Yeah. Which is a very, it's a very effective way of just like getting all the stuff done. It's like, I'm just super evil dude who's going to take care of these three items. So yeah, that we have to go up.
It was funny that they were able to get all the tropes of a horror film in just an evil landlord. No lights for them. No phone line. It was like, oh, well, that would be the thing the Scream guy does. But this time it's just the bad landlord.
See, if they had been smart and actually wanted to make a like a commentary on shitty slumlords and like about like, you know, this whole gentrification thing that they do kind of hint at, because he says, he's like, well, I bought this land, or I bought this whole thing. I'm eventually going to turn it into a mini mart or whatever it was he wanted to do. It's like, you guys actually had something there,
but then you dropped the ball completely.
But nothing. It was
nothing.
It meant nothing.
Thank God, Marcia. That's her name. Marcia shows back up. Marcia is the real hero. She gets everyone in, grabs Leo. They put him into the thing. I want to know, in your lives, did you ever have meet cutes during a net, like during some stressful thing where someone was bleeding out? You saw the cute boy. You're like, oh, Brian from school. What are you doing?
Yeah. Like, how'd you meet your husband? Yeah. Me and my boyfriend. It's like, oh, she's like, Josh.
And it's so funny. And he is like, he seems like he's in awe of her. And it's like, guys, read the room. We are in crisis.
Yeah. Mode. Yeah. We're all going to, your stepdad just died. Like,
he's surprisingly like well adjusted for someone who like yelled about it for 2 seconds and then was like fine for the rest of the movie.
To be fair, the movie got me, because when we saw the stuff with Leo at the beginning and they all went on their way, I was like, great, what a waste of fucking actor, like we're never gonna see them again. Yeah. And then he shows right back up again.
Yeah, of course. It's way too convenient, but that happens in movies sometimes.
Yeah
It's all full circle. It's good writing. This was good writing. This is basically a template for good writing. So they get inside the room, they're all in there, they don't know what to do, and then, thank goodness, Happy Gilmore Grandma realizes, oh, there's that space in the kitchen that we haven't been up there since the 30s. They go and escape up there, and that's when the movie drags again.
That's when we lose a bunch of people. We're like, where'd they go?
That's when, like, now we're in the belly of the apartment building now. And now, like, the architecture makes no sense.
It's not the belly. The belly implies down below. We're like the brain area of the building. Yeah. Which, to be fair, in this economy, I kept looking at that crawl space being like, that's a $1,000 apartment if I've ever seen it. I would go live in that crawl space.
Like, you're going to say that's like a loft.
You could step.
You're gonna say that's a loft.
They could like step up at one point and like stand fully.
Yeah. There's already blankets up there. There's ham and beans down below. That's basically a full tenant if I've ever heard one. They should be subletting that apartment.
Yeah. No, that's like when they all move back and they're going to make sure they get the exact same layout. So that they can get some money rolling in.
Our hero shows up. Our lady is frantic and she's like, who's that hunky boy?
Oh, yes.
And the real hero of the movie, which is guns. Guns do most of the heavy lifting.
This movie, it's okay to be pro-gun.
That's because you're killing a predator.
Yes.
So of course, it is the First Amendment right thing.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you're just killing in this case, aliens are coming. Guns.
And it's funny that you mentioned Predator. This does have that Predator 2 feel of like, we were in the jungle, but now we're in the city. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went from like this is like the first two movies were like in that little small town, and now it's like, we're in Los Angeles.
But this one tenement apartment.
Yes, this is
so like true. Actually the scope has gotten smaller.
As soon as those beans came out, I was like, yo, I made a note. I wrote inbound fart noises. And then like almost a slow countdown. Here comes the fart noises.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. You just had like a whole farting moment. And I was like,
honestly, like not only are these things trying to kill them, they're also just little pricks.
They are. They are like, definitely space pricks.
Yeah. It's like these motherfuckers are just like trying to like just break your shit.
There was a weird moment where I felt bad though, because the critters in their alien talk are worried about Blackie. And I felt bad for Blackie because I assumed that these were mindless monsters, not that they have some sort of hive collective mind. No, and then I felt bad for the critters.
Yeah, they have like a soul, apparently.
Right.
They do, yeah, they do have alien souls, that's for sure. It's like, this is a pro-Scientology movie. See, there's alien souls inside of all of us, and inside of them, there's alien souls as well.
But yeah, and oh man.
But again,
it's crazy.
We go to the attic, we do all that fun stuff. A lot of bad improvs, like kid improv scenes of like, we're in the attic, what are we gonna do? You go grab those boxes, you go, like, okay.
Yeah, like just giving them like busy freaking, yeah, and like, then, because it's not like they're, yeah, they're not actually having them like prop it against anything, but like,
no,
you know, nothing. Just, hey, why don't you go move boxes around, yeah, Jamie?
And then grandma gets real excited by all the fun memorabilia she hasn't seen in a long time. The Aunt June blanket.
The blanket.
Oh, I was real happy about that. And then I don't understand the architecture of this building anymore.
Right.
Because they run around the roof. Martha gets lost in the roof, like goes to another apartment building and they can't find her. Right. We then have to go down the elevator. Why did they go down the elevator shaft?
Well, she went down because, well,
why did they go down the elevator?
She has,
well,
because
like
down...
I think at one point they didn't, they start to notice that there was a fire.
Yeah,
but like, and that's why he was saying there, like the dad's like, no, don't do it, it's so dangerous, but like now she's like going down this ladder thing, but like it's not the, well, I mean, I guess it is the elevator shaft. Yeah. And like, but it doesn't look like an elevator shaft. Is it?
Maybe. Yeah. I think we jumped a scene because the fire starts. She goes down the elevator, gets trapped by the critters. Space guy shows up, mm-hmm, because then he, in getting in the elevator, they kick the thing.
Yeah.
They're like, oh no, we're gonna die like Emilio Estevez in Mission Impossible. But they don't. They make it out.
There's a little bit of space.
Uh-huh.
And then she screams at them. She's like, get us out of here.
Yeah, a great lady scream.
Yes.
Martha makes her way back and does the real scary. See, I wanted more scary stuff like that, of like, what are the things in the building you have to maneuver? The elevator shaft was fun, but the metal,
oh,
whatever those,
yes,
melee, those bouncy things. Yeah, that
I was trying to figure out what those
was. It like
too?
Wiring for like the telephone booth?
Because like it couldn't be that, because like wouldn't that electrocute you?
She said they were safe. They were safety lines or something like that, that the phone company uses, but it clearly can't support your weight. But
no,
like,
yeah,
it was enough that she could go bouncy on there.
Yes.
Then get a, oh no, she's gonna die, but she hooks her leg on that cord and does,
oh my god, it's hilarious.
And then she swings.
Best part of the movie happens now.
Yes.
And I think that was all ADR. I think that was a stuntman, because you never see her face.
That's a good point.
Exactly. No, absolutely.
She's just going back and forth, real, probably the best physical comedy of the movie was that,
yes,
poor lady being,
but every time
out,
it's just like, oh no, no, no.
But like,
no,
just,
no.
But then also when she's like grabbing it and she's just like, and she's at an angle.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, oh my god. I could have watched 25 more minutes of that. Just her swinging back.
Best
and
part
forth
of the movie.
Poor sweet Leo gets to the roof. The lock on the roof is not there. She just needed to keep pushing.
Yes. I was like, bitch, keep going up.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Listen, eventually Annie breaks the glass ceiling, brings everybody to the roof, because mind you, she's the mate. She's the hero of this movie.
Yes.
Leo gets speared in the neck on the roof, right? So now he's out of it.
Oh, of course. All the men. Then, men ain't shit in this movie.
Men ain't shit in this movie.
Yeah, they're basically useless. I love it.
and then that's the end of my notes. Then they fight him on the roof. I don't remember what happened on the roof.
Well, no, because then at that point
they're
like,
screaming, being like, we're on the roof, it's on fire, like they're screaming it, so like the abyss, like. And then I think she finally, Marsha's able to actually get to the phone and like make the phone call of like, help us, we're about to like be ablaze.
Yeah. But like what happens is that like there's the thing where like the little brother almost falls off the roof. And like, see, that's where we get full circle, where the men finally prove themselves, because holding onto her little brother who, you know, and it's like, it definitely seems like he's going to fall. And, you know, and just when like it seems like it's just about to be like completely over, you know, we see a big, strong man hand come in. And like, just grab it.
He scoops it up at the last moment. Finally, men redeem themselves.
Yes. He has retaken his role as parent. Yes. And in then, this moment.
Right. And then the, and I love that dad's, that his character arc at the end of the movie, he's like, maybe I will get a better job. Like, he didn't really learn anything. No. He's just going to like support his family now.
Yeah. He just wasn't going to abandon them. Because like literally, even though we only see it from his perspective or like the family perspective, he was for sure going to leave them forever. And like he was about to like hit the old dusty trail.
They are now they are now Happy Gilmore Grandma's problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what for was sure. gonna happen.
And then yeah.
Yeah, and they did it. And they did it. Now, one of the things that you brought up on your beach episode is that younger Leonardo DiCaprio didn't know when to use the angry button. And he is, now I understand why he's an angry youth, but everything he says is said with so much sass. Mm-hmm. Everything he says is like, yeah, you're a shithead. It was like, you don't need to go that hard on the stranger in the woods right now.
Yeah, that guy looks fucking crazy. Yeah, he might kill you. That kid could, like, I was like, I would definitely think someone was going to murder me. Like, you're going to be the reason I've been zapped in the woods.
Well, and it was crazy as well that the sister accuses young Leo of being a pervert. Then when a man jumps out of the ground who clearly has mental health issues, the little kid's like, you want to suck on my soda? He's like, I love mug soda. Gulp, 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 gulp.
And like, the thing is like, I mean, maybe it was so funny because this little kid gets like real into, just really, really felt like likes this guy for some
yeah
reason.
The guy gives him like guy. A crystal and he's like, when this crystal glows like the color of that bile, like yeah. shit's going down.
Yeah
when he gives him the Lord of the Rings orc sword, when the sword glows blue, you're in trouble. Listen, this movie again, that's why I felt it was a Pan's Labyrinth, because there was all these like fantasy elements from all these other movies. None of it pays off, FYI.
None of it
comes to fruition.
The only thing that does come into like play later is just this thing in the end credits, because basically at this point, you're right, the movie is everybody lives happily ever after. They're gonna get a whole new building.
Yes.
Leo and Annie are gonna hang out.
They're gonna go to the mall.
They're gonna go to the
pizza. Look at make
it's
some
gonna be
eyes
early
on each
90s,
other.
Early 90s,
like play with an arcade. Yeah. Well, they say like, oh, like let's do normal stuff.
Yeah. It's like
early. Yo, this movie is popping with neon colors. I forgot about those early 90s neon. It's
like Leo's shirt is like very distracting.
Oh man, there's a lot. It's just not only is it like this like hot peak, it's also very like a loud pattern.
all of the clothes, all of the clothes choices are his is the most 90s. He is the coolest of the dudes in the movie. Everyone else feels like they're par for the course,
you know. And he's got like the curtain bangs.
Oh, those hair, that
very 90s like JTT curtain
when
bangs.
Did was Leo he was like a pop, he was like in those Teen Beat magazines. Was he in those magazines by this point, or was that like
Titanic?
I think Titanic was what made him a heartthrob, because like
Growing Pains didn't make him like the new hot kid on the scene.
No, because like they did Growing Pains, so yeah, I think he was probably in like a Tiger Beat or two, but then like right after Growing Pains he like went into that Robert De Niro movie.
Yeah, like This Boy's Life and Gilbert Grape, so we're
like,
not
so
really
he
heartthrobby.
Did, like, he did some pretty serious ones.
Basketball Diary was even before it's really gritty. Titanic, it was like
it was like a 1-2 punch of Titanic
and
Romeo
and
Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet was the year before, and then Titanic right after.
And Basketball Diaries, he is 18, but he's playing 16, right? Because you can't have, that's the movie, is that the movie where he's jerking off on the roof?
And like, he's doing like all these drugs and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he would have definitely had to have been like 18 or 19 when he was actually doing it. I'm sure.
Yeah, no, he definitely was, because that was, I think that might have been like 95. He was for sure of age.
Yeah, because like basically here he does look like he's like a very young teenager. But then like by the time he was like really on magazines though, like he looked like an adult.
He was 18 in Gilbert Grape, and I'm pretty sure that was 93. And he looked older in Gilbert Grape than he did like in this, and it's like a 2-year differential. So he like aged in those 2 years.
Yeah, it was crazy. He looked like a young man and then all of a sudden looked 35. I don't know what happened to those weird in-between years. He was like a real young pretty boy and then just instantly became a thick 35-year-old at some point. And I don't know when that changed. Maybe Revolutionary Road. I don't know. There was a weird time jump in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so all the aliens, the news crews come, everyone's happy. Our bounty hunter goes to the basement where he's about to kill the two critters and the space bounty hunters, which we had seen earlier in the quick trailer for the first two movies, says, you can't kill the critters. They're an endangered species. Bum, bum, bum.
It's like, these are the last two. And we have to preserve them or something.
Sorry to sound like that white bitch, but do we care about these aliens?
No, I agree with you. As human beings who have murdered, I don't mean necessarily us right here, but as the human species, we have murdered every animal on this planet and become the top apex predator.
Yeah.
I would have totally taken a spear and 300 these little shish kebabs. Also,
like they probably would have taken away the power of his gun, but it's like, all right, well, I saw how these things were getting killed earlier.
Yeah.
Like, all you have to do is like really hit them against a door.
Yeah.
But, to be continued. Who knows what will happen in the next movie? That's it. That's all we're ever going to know. Is this the worst of the Leo movies you two have watched?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Because like I was making fun of The Beach, but that at least felt like a real movie. This...
In The Beach, and something you talked about there, The Beach feels like studio executives changed everything at the
very
movie feels like meddling. This movie feels like it got no studio notes.
Maybe the one note they got was to make it more violent.
Yeah, and so somehow
they threw in more blood.
It's still PG-13. I was like kind of floored that I was like, that's a lot of blood for PG-13, you know?
Yeah, I kept waiting for that thing that was like, it's not for kids, but this is a kids movie. Like,
at the end of the day,
it's a kids movie where kids curse, but not in a cool way, like Stand By Me, where we smoke cigarettes and say shit like,
yeah.
Leo is just passing on the abuse of the things he hears at home that are affecting him. So it made me sad. It made me sad.
Because that's the thing. That was one thing, though, that I thought was really funny, because like they did not seem to have a good time with each other when they all met the first time at this like road stop. Like, she didn't seem to like Leo that much. He kind of didn't seem to have an opinion about her either.
But then
later that night, like when, you know, shit hits the fan, he's like,
well, trauma bonding.
Sure. But he's like, I just wish it was like it was earlier this morning.
Yeah. Like,
I wanted the scene where she gives him, where he gives her her phone number, or she like rejects it, or is like, oh, I should have got that kid's number or something like that, because I didn't it was just happenstance that he showed up again. This was all just the universe working in a very magical way,
convenient way for sure.
But I mean, this was Annie's Alice in Wonderland. This is where she became a woman. She entered her womanly body in those overalls and takes care of the family now.
Right. Well, then it should have been just ended with her actually being able to save her brother.
Yes.
Been like, fuck you, dad. We don't need you. And then they walk off into the sunset. I would have loved that.
Funny enough, you brought up how Martha is the Ridley of this movie. I thought Annie was going to be that person. I wanted to see the moment where she's a child. So I don't mean it like this, but like, her overalls get slashed and she's like, get away from my little brother, you bitch. Like, I wanted that moment and she never got it. She like fumbles through this experience. She is the hero, but like just barely.
Yeah. Cause no, we are following her story, but like they just leave all of the heavy lifting to Martha.
Martha does all of the action shots, but Annie is there as well.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So would you say there is a batshit moment in this movie?
This whole movie, maybe. It's so tough. I don't know. Maybe the batshit moment for me was when we just had that cutaway to all of them consuming beans and fighting and drinking joy. Because it's like, we're supposed to like, it's like, this is a moment where like we're almost sympathizing with these, especially when they're like scared about Blackie. And I'm like, why do I care about what's going on in the critters? It's like, it'd be like if Jason Voorhees had this like moment in like Friday the 13th, like, or something. And you're like, oh, I want to, like, it was strange. It felt weird to me that like we cared about the critters in this moment.
Right. Finding out that they're sentient was a problem.
It makes it weird. It makes it all weird. I think the most batshit moment, crazy moment is when the car accident happens, of which there are no consequences The kids just... They get out.
They're like another
The old people aren't like, holy shit, bro. Like, you got to get your shit together. You have kids in that car.
Yeah.
No. they have a full-on head-on collision, and then they're like, all right, grab your shit, kids. Hey, you better not go inside unless you grab something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those hands okay. It better not be empty.
Better not be empty-handed. We're moving into this place. Maybe that. I mean, all the stuff, all the fight in the roof felt long. I mean, I guess maybe the fire. I don't know. I like the fire, I guess. I think, like,
I will say, like, once, like, when, like, they had, like, the flare guns and, like, everything was going on, I was like, oh, this, like, lighting design and, like, these choices are super cool.
To be fair, they do all feel like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first movie, because they fought the Shredder on the roof and they push him off the roof. Like, there was a little bit of those vibes.
That's true.
I don't know what city this was in. I have no idea time and space of this movie.
Nondescript, I guess.
Somewhere it really is just some city, because, like, I wonder if they, like, wanted it to be a different look, because, I mean, I haven't seen the first two, but if they're all in this, like, fictional small town.
Grover's Den, you mean?
So, yeah. Like, it sounds like the town in our town. Like, it seems like it's gonna be very quaint and whatever. So maybe that they wanted it to be
a gritty city.
And it's very clearly Los Angeles. That's very clearly somewhere down in Koreatown. I've probably been to that place somewhere next to the 7-Eleven. I've walked to that place. It seemed like a very nice place.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Did you have a bachelor moment?
No, I think it was the car accident, because like, I think too, just like, you know,
it's so casual. I want to casually rear end someone like that.
Yeah.
Just start a conversation with them and then just like.
And Mario Moore has that like it moment. Seemed, that's literally like what it was.
I was like, no, Mario's about to like just get into his car and blow his brains out. I don't want to watch this movie.
Mario's having the worst day of his life. He's obviously down on his luck. He's now lost his car has been ruined. He's having the worst day of his life.
Yeah. Like that's the actual start to that Michael Douglas movie, Falling Down.
Yes.
Mario's then I would totally
follow Mario's day. That would have been more exciting than the critters.
Oh my God, we're gonna pitch this movie.
You know what this movie needed in hindsight? All kids. All the kids.
Yeah.
Like a Goonies type thing. It's just children.
They move into the building and dad goes, Martha with dad. Martha has a kid as well, but it's not her kid. It's just a kid that lives with her. He's like a scrappy, he's good with tools. Then the two kids come in here. Let's give grandpa and grandpa, they've got a kid, their niece or not their niece or nephew, their grandchild is visiting. I feel like I wanted the kids to be the heroes in these things, and they just weren't. The adults always had to step in. I think this movie needed like the four other kids from the park. There was like three kids that never get introduced.
There were so many kids.
I wanted those kids in the building. I think this movie needed to be a full Goonies movie.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, because I'm more inclined, like, when ridiculous things are happening. Well, there's no grownups around. So like we are operating on kid logic. But no, but because like the adults are here, I had like everything felt super realistic, and therefore like I didn't want to commit to it, because sometimes it was like a little too real, but then it was too silly to be like too real. So
if Critters 4 brings back Annie, if I go and look on IMDb and she's back in the movie, I will watch it to follow her story. But if it's just that guy again, I'm done.
I think it is. Cause I think it just follows them trying to be like, no, we should kill these things. It becomes a political thriller.
Oh God. No, thank you.
Yeah. The next one takes place in Washington, D.C. Mr. President, there's critters in the building.
Yeah. Do we annihilate them? But they do have sentient being. They are about to be extinct.
See, maybe I want a movie then with just the critters on their ship, like an ET situation where they're like, we gotta go down there, we gotta populate our species, these humans are taking us out.
See, give me that movie. I'll watch that one too.
I'll watch the Independence Day version of Critters. I just want them to be in like little critter pods shooting lasers instead of living in the vents.
And then shooting these weird dart things. So yeah, we kind of said it a little, but where would you put this on the garbage meter?
Oh, I mean, this is. You remember that part in that thing you do when they win the talent show and the girl's like, oh, overboard. I mean, this is the sweetest of the garbage. I mean, I don't know what other sweet garbage you want to have. We can tit for tat other ones. I mean, this is this is the fullest of sweet garbage. This is all the garbage. It's a garbage fire. There's no other place to go. It has garbage all the bonanza. Bad tropes.
Yes.
It's a garbage bonanza.
That's it. That's what I would call it. This was a garbage bonanza.
That seems about right. Garbage bonanza.
Bad script, bad line readings, weird choices, aliens farting, the fire on the roof. They spun that upside down woman for 15 minutes.
Oh my God. I love that. 20 minutes.
Best part of the movie. Great, great moment.
It's like a Buster Keaton joke. It's like a Charlie Chaplin, like,
I need to swim over to it.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, that was Critters 3. Amazing. So good. Michael, do you have anything that you want to promote?
Do I want to promote? Go check out David and Me's podcast, Storytime. He's telling me Animorph stories right now. I always tell him wonderful fairy tales. You can check out all of that stuff. I do another podcast with the over at the Cultured Nerd. You can hear us talk all about the new Batman movie and all the things that are happening because Discovery bought Warner Brothers. So who knows what the future holds? So yeah, you can go check me out at both of those places.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely. It was great having you on. This was so fun.
Again, anytime you would like me to book myself on your show, I will just manhandle myself in here. We're almost done with Leo month, but Bacon's coming up. So who else knows what's in your future?
Yeah.
Bacon's got some. Listen, I don't know what I want to call, but if we do Kevin Bacon, I might want to call Hollow Man right now.
Oh, all right.
We'll
just have we'll just have you on as a co-host.
Okay,
for
great.
All of Bacon Month.
Yeah.
But real quick question, and I don't want to get anybody in trouble here, but did you guys pay for this rental?
No.
Okay, great. Okay, you watched it on 123 Movies or wherever. That you great. Okay.
I did not pay. I refused to pay for this.
I think because I actually watched this with Paul and he did pay for it.
Paul, you're a
contributed to us.
You're a saint. You're a saint. No, he definitely was giving me some dirty looks halfway through this movie.
It was a $3.99 rental, and I was like, fuck that. Like, if it was a dollar, maybe, but like, oh boy, that's too expensive.
Hell no.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you for having me on. I'm so excited that I got to experience this sweet, sweet garbage, probably the worst of the Leo movies. And to the thesis of your show, I felt like this was a very pro-feminist movie. We're in pretty good light. I think they passed the Brechtel test. I'm pretty sure they were, talking about killing things. They never were talking about
a man.
They were never talking about a man. In fact, they only ever talked about their mother. So
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Very true. Love it.
On our podcast, at the end of an episode of some fairy tale, we go to lessons. If we were to go to lessons now, what is your takeaway from this movie?
I think it's what she said earlier. Men ain't shit. Yeah.
See, my lesson is, and I also want to say, as a man, we ain't shit. So I totally fully agree with that. But secondly, I think the takeaway from this movie is get to know your neighbors.
Yes.
Knock on their doors.
That is a good point. I love it.
Right now, knock on your neighbor's door.
Be like, I watched Critters 3 last night. I must be friends with you.
I live in the unit down the hall. If we ever get attacked by aliens, I just want you to know you can depend on me.
Yes. I got my backpack ready.
We're good to go, guys. I love it.
It's great.
Now, I know we're trying to end it. I have one last question for you.
Oh, sure.
Is that a bubble water? Do you make bubble water while sitting on the couch? Do you have a soda stream?
Yeah, hell yes, I do.
That's because, well, the thing is, the setup, though, is that we have, like, the podcast stuff right here. We have, like, the movie here. So a lot of times we're watching the movie. So we're, like, passing each other.
Your sweet, sweet bubble water. Listen, I'm a fan of anybody with a soda stream next to the couch, which is why I'm such a fan of this show. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
I feel like I feel like the men from Repo Men. I feel like a garbage man, and I'm ready to punch out and end my shift now.
Perfect.
Oh, perfect. Great. Bye, Michael.
Bye, friends. I'll see you later.
Sweet. sweet.